Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Florida's attempt to insulate death penalty cases from the inflamed emotions of juries has apparently backfired. The Supreme Court invalidated a Florida death penalty law that gives judges a role in deciding some sentencing-related facts in the penalty phase in death penalty cases. The court said that violates the Sixth Amendment that guarantees the right to a trial by jury. Here to talk about this ruling is Marianne Franks, a professor of law at the University of Miami Law School. Welcome to The Takeaway, Professor.
Thank you.
Describe what the intent of this law was as you understand it.
Well, it's difficult to know exactly what the legislators intended. It could be that you want to keep the decision about the ultimate question of the death sentence, whether or not it will be imposed, away from the jury for various reasons. Maybe you think that juries are not particularly good at making that decision. Maybe you think the death penalty should be more easy to impose. So it could have been these types of motivations that would have led legislators to say, we really want the judge to have the ultimate determination here.
And boy, the Supreme Court was having none of it in the decision yesterday.
That's correct. The Supreme Court said that type of system that would allow a judge to make the determinations of certain types of fact with regard to making a defendant eligible for the death penalty, that's the kind of thing that would violate the Sixth Amendment.
Did the court view the judge as nullifying the jury's intent here if they give a recommendation of the death penalty and the judge were to refuse it for reasons of his own?
Well, no, because what the court did not say was that this question of the judge making the final determination, even if that's at odds with the jury, what's often referred to as judicial override, they did not in fact say that judicial override violates the Sixth Amendment. What they're suggesting is that what they did say in this case was that Florida's peculiar system, which would allow the judge to make findings of fact, that's the problem. It's not that the judge can't impose a penalty that's different from what the jury recommended, but the judge cannot make the findings of fact that are necessary.
So if, according to the Florida system, the judge is actually hearing facts that would relate to when you can apply the death penalty, like aggravating factors, premeditation, that sort of thing, it's that judge acting like a jury in evaluating those facts that the court finds most offensive. Would you say that's correct?
That's correct. What the court is saying is that it cannot be that the judge independently is making those determinations about those factors. That's the kind of thing that needs to be determined by the jury.
Has the court ever weighed into this territory here in sentencing phases? It hasn't been that long since the criminal system was bifurcated the way that it seems to be nationwide now.
That's right. So we had major upheaval in the 1970s with regard to the way that the death penalty was carried out. States had to revisit their procedures for how they were imposing the death penalty. And then the question became in the early 2000s, just what else the states actually had to do to comport with the constitutional rights. And you had this case in 2002, Ring versus Arizona, that said essentially what was affirmed in Hearst, which is when it comes to those determinations of aggravating factors that would make a defendant eligible for the death penalty, that kind of determination of fact needs to be made by the jury.
And there are hundreds of people that this affects on Florida's death row, right?
Potentially everybody on death row, potentially. That's 390 people at the moment. What is not clear at the moment is whether this decision is going to apply only to those people whose cases are still on direct appeal, or whether it would also apply retroactively to everybody who's on death row right now.
So what we know at this moment is that anybody that's appealed on this issue or others will get a second look. But the question remains whether retroactively anybody who's on death row, whether they've appealed or not, would get a second look.
Right, that anybody's case who still is active would have the opportunity to take advantage of this ruling and argue that it would apply to them and that it was not harmless error, as it's called. What's less clear and what would have to be worked out by the courts in Florida is whether or not it applies retroactively to those cases that have been given their final disposition.
And nobody hits the streets as a result of this. It would be a matter of death penalty versus what the other alternative would have been. That's the default.
Well, what these cases would have to look at would be to see whether or not, given the fact that the system Florida has in place currently is, in fact, unconstitutional, whether that system meant something for that defendant, that is to say that the outcome could have been different. If you can show that despite the state being wrong in its penalty imposition, That is to say, its process is a penalty imposition, but nonetheless, the same result would have happened. The jury still would have found these types of factors, still would have imposed the death penalty, then their so-called harmless error, and nobody's punishment changes.
And it's not likely, or it's not the case, that you would throw out any of these cases entirely.
Well, if what we mean by throwing them out entirely, what we could say is that because of the way that the system works in Florida, in some cases, we might be able to show that were it not for the way Florida was doing this system, some defendants would not, in fact, have been sentenced to the death penalty. And if that's the case, the death penalty would then be off the table. And so we would probably revert to life in prison.
But guilt or innocence is not really a question in this case at all.
Exactly, because the guilt or innocence part of the trial, because we have these bifurcated trials, that would not be touched. That's not something that this particular ruling has anything to do with. It's only the imposition of the death penalty itself as a sentence.
Part of the challenge here related to the non-unanimity question in Florida. Why do you think the court didn't take a look at that?
Well, many people had hoped that the court would say something about the requirement for unanimous verdicts, which Florida is one of the few states that does not require unanimous verdicts for the imposition of the death penalty. Why it is that the court didn't want to talk about that in the context of the Sixth Amendment, it could be a number of reasons. It could be that we simply don't believe that the Sixth Amendment as such requires unanimous verdicts for this type of sentence. Could be that that's more properly thought of as an Eighth Amendment question. It could be just that the court thought this is a better way, that is to say, the way they actually ruled is a better, narrower way of talking about the problem.
Marianne Franks is a professor of law at the University of Miami Law School. Thanks so much.
Thank you.